I hope you visit our church website often. I think we have a great church website. And Tobin, you and your team, you all do a super job in keeping that updated. We added a new link to the website this week. If you go to fbclex.org, you'll notice at the top of the home page, or when you go on there, at the top of the page, there's a green border at the top. And if you will go over and highlight Visual FBC, you will see popping up underneath it SkyCam. Click on SkyCam, and you're going to see a beautiful picture of downtown Lexington. You might recognize that picture. Do you ever watch WXII weather? And when you're watching it, they have SkyCams all over their viewing area, and they have one here in Lexington. The camera is mounted on the candy factory, and the focus is the old courthouse on the square. Well, that's the same picture that you will now see linked to our website. That old courthouse is a powerful symbol. It symbolizes who we are as a people in a free and a democratic society, a self-governing people who live in an orderly society grounded on laws and justice. But you know that old courthouse is much more than a judicial symbol. This beautiful building, and it is beautiful, isn't it? It's Greek Revival design. It was built back in 1858. The story is that slaves were even auctioned from the steps of that old courthouse. And you probably know that in 1865, the Yankees burned it. They never admitted it, but you know they did. And then it was renovated in 1868. That old courthouse has become the proud symbol of Lexington, standing on the square for 156 years. And by the way, on Thursday evening, September the 11th, at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a service of rededication and an open house for the old courthouse after the extensive renovations that have taken place over the last few months. We'd love for you to join us up in the courthouse on Thursday evening. But when you look at that picture, you'll notice something else. There is another powerful symbol. Because if you look just to the right of the courthouse, you see a very prominent, beautiful steeple. There is a steeple in the town. And it's the steeple of First Baptist Church of Lexington. Have you ever noticed that? Well, go to that picture and you'll see our church steeple, which is the reason we added the link to the website. And I want to say a special word of thanks to Tobin for making it happen, to WXII for giving their permission, and of course to the Candy Factory for all the good things that they do. The steeple in the town symbolizes that we are a community of faith. That this community is much more than a community of laws. That we are a community of grace. As the old courthouse symbolizes justice, the steeple in the background symbolizes righteousness. But one evening I was watching the weather and I saw that and I was looking at our church steeple and I thought, wonder what people think when they see that steeple in the background. What do I want people to think when they see the steeple from First Baptist Church? Or perhaps most importantly, what does God want our community to think when they look up and when they see that beautiful, prominent steeple, the steeple in the town? When people see that steeple, it is my prayer that they see a place of hope and healing. I don't want them to see an isolated, insulated, and exclusive place. You know, some people, I'm sure, who are outside the church, look at our church and look at the steeple and say, oh, well, that's where all those nice people go on Sunday. That's where those folks go, up there. I don't want people to see that. I want us to be a greater part of our community so that when people see our steeple, they see the center of hope and healing that is an integral part of this community. I want us to be even more engaged in the community of Lexington. You know, we used to take the approach, and every church took the approach, that here we are. Follow the steeple. The doors are open. Come in and hear about God's love and grace. That doesn't work anymore. When people see the steeple, they need to know that in that place of God's love and grace are people who are prepared to go out. People who are prepared to leave that place and go into the community and spread God's love and grace wherever they go. It is my prayer that that steeple become as synonymous with the community of Lexington as the old courthouse is. I want us to be salt and light in this community. I want our church to be an instrument of God's peace. I want us to be the conduit of grace, the channel of healing, the example of love, the beacon of hope, and the catalyst for reconciliation. Just a few moments ago, Kim read this scripture from the 10th chapter of Luke. Jesus is sending out his followers, not just his disciples, because he sent out, remember how many? 72. So he's sending out his followers to go out and to be instruments of peace, to be catalysts for reconciliation, to be beacons of hope, to make a difference with God's mercy and grace. And while there's a whole lot in that scripture, there are basically three things that they're called upon to do. Jesus commissioned his followers to do three things when they went out into the community. Number one was to bring peace, shalom, wherever they go. Secondly was to heal the sick. And thirdly, to proclaim the kingdom of God. I believe that's what God wants us to do. I believe he wants us, the people beneath that steeple, to be prepared to go out into this community and to be instruments of peace, to bring God's shalom. Now you say, well, that sounds wonderful. But how do we do that? What does that mean in practical terms? Shalom means well-being. You experience shalom when you have the right perspective in life, the right relationship with God, when you are fulfilled. It doesn't mean everything goes well, but it means that we have that right relationship. The opposite of shalom, the opposite of well-being, is when things are in turmoil, when life is not well, And you look outside the walls of this church, you look even within this church, and there are so many people who need peace, who need shalom. There are people who are hurting. There are people who are sick. There are children who are hungry. There are people who are in despair. There are people who are homeless. There are people who do not have jobs. There are people whose lives are broken. And I believe that God is calling all of us to be instruments of His peace, to go out and make a difference. And you know how we can do that? It's really not very complicated. This community, the community of Lexington, has been blessed beyond measure with a multitude of helping groups and agencies and ministries that are designed to bring peace when people are troubled. And I believe what we ought to do, instead of reinventing the wheel, is we simply need to be more engaged with all of these different agencies and ministries. There are so many. With the risk of leaving some out, we can begin right here in our church with the Martha Best Children's Center, because no one is more important than our children. And do you know that through the Children's Center we provide peace for families? I know, as a grandparent who has a child here, that's such a significant ministry. But then there's so many families whose lives are in turmoil. There's so many families that are broken. We've had a long-standing relationship with the Baptist Children's Homes of North Carolina to reach out to help these families that are in crisis. Within our community, we have different agencies designed to bring peace and hope and healing. Davidson Medical Ministries, Meals on Wheels, Pastor's Pantry, Carolina Cancer Services, Crisis Ministry, the Salvation Army, the Prison Ministry, Hospice of Davidson County, the Life Center, CHILL, which is the after-school mentoring program, the J. Smith Young YMCA, the Path of Hope, Communities in Schools, Positive Wellness, and the list could go on and on and on. I think one of the best things that we can do as a church is if every one of us involved in this church would be engaged with at least one of these different groups, and we become the liaison. We become the conduit. We become the representative, the ambassador, so that we as a community of faith, the steeple in the town, so that we know what's going on. We know the opportunities. We know how we can get involved and reach out and bring peace to troubled people. You can let us know about opportunities of service, about resources that are needed, about events that are taking place. The second thing Jesus told them to do was simply this: to heal the sick. Because in every community, in every family, in every church, there are people who are sick. And we have people in our church. We pray for them daily. But this is what God is calling us to do. Healing the sick is as old as the gospel. But we have a new approach to that. I'm convinced that one of the best things that has happened to us in recent years is the movement that we call Faith Health. It's not a new program. If it's just a new program, it'll pass away. But I'm convinced that this is a movement of God. Not something new, but something old as the gospel. But what Faith Health does, it gives us resources that we've never had before by linking us to the health community so that we can engage those resources and bring healing to those who are sick. But faith health is a whole lot more than that. One thing that we've talked about, it's being a positive example. It's living a healthy lifestyle. Proper diet, nutrition, exercise, preventative medicine, regular checkups, diagnostic tests when they're needed, and encouraging others to do the right thing so that they will stay healthy. But faith health is like a lot of other things, and I know Don and Deb can tell us the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. We need more workers. We need people who can provide transportation. We need people who can visit. We need people who can provide meals. We need people who can network resources. God has called us to heal the sick. And then He calls us to proclaim the kingdom of God. And you know, when we go out doing these good works, that's exactly what we do. When people see the steeple in the town, and they know that that's where those people are who care about this community. That's where people are who go out and make a difference in this community. That's proclaiming the kingdom of God. We proclaim it through Bible study. I'm proud of our community Bible studies that we have in our church, that we have in other downtown churches. Opportunities to come together and study the Word. And then we proclaim the kingdom of God every time we get together and worship. We proclaim the kingdom of God every time we sing a hymn or have a beautiful anthem. And we're able to go into the community through our radio ministry in ways that we never imagined. But there are a couple of things I want to point out in this 10th chapter of Luke. Number one, Jesus didn't go about this the way that I would go about it. Because I would say, folks, don't you think this is a good thing for us to do? I mean, does anybody disagree with me? If now, speak or forever hold your peace. You know it's a good thing to do. So I would say, we need some volunteers. Jesus never asked for volunteers. Jesus appointed the 72. He called them. Because God has the plans for us. He knows the plans. He knows what's best for us. And so the question is not, do you want to volunteer? The question is, are you being called? Are you being called to be instruments of peace, to heal the sick, to proclaim the kingdom of God? And do you notice Jesus goes through all this about you're not supposed to take anything with you? All of that. And you say, well, what's that all about? Basically, that's saying we cannot do it on our own. I have a bad habit. I believe if I want something done right, I just do it myself. That's not the way we're supposed to operate. We are supposed to be dependent. Dependent upon God and dependent upon others. And then you notice how He sent them out. Not just one. He didn't say, now you go here, you go there. Jim, you take your saxophone and you go over here and we'll all do our own thing. He sent them out two by two. We go together so that when one falls down, the other can lift him up. So that when one becomes discouraged, the other can express hope. So where one is weak, the other is strong. Two by two. But you know, I don't believe that God has called all of us individually into all of these different things. I believe that God is calling us as a church to do something great together, to make a difference in this community, proclaiming the kingdom of God. And you know how that happens? Two by two becomes four. And then you have four by four, and that's eight. And then eight and eight, you have 16, and then you have 32, and then you have 64. And then suddenly we are a mighty army proclaiming the kingdom of God. And we're going to do something else new today to try to symbolize this, to represent this. And everybody has to be on board, and everybody has to pay attention. Because in a few minutes, we're going to receive the offering. And at the conclusion of the offertory, you know what we always do? We always have the doxology. And everybody stands up and sings, and we've tried to mix it up a little bit, but it's basically been the same. So we're going to do something different today. Now pay attention. We're going to have two by two, two ushers over here, two ushers over here. They're going to stand at the back. Beverly is going to have an extended introduction to the doxology. So don't worry about singing just yet. But when she begins to play, the ushers will begin to move to the front. Beginning with the back row, and where you are, the last shall be first. The back row will stand first. Then what we want you to do is you wait until the ushers pass your pew, your row, and as soon as they pass your row, then you stand. But not before. You get it? You start with the back, and then we're going to all stand sort of as a wave. Now, speaking of waving, hey, up there, we want you all to move down. No, we're not going to do that. What we want you to do in the balcony is as soon as you see the ushers, when you see the tops of their heads, then you stand. And then the last ones to stand when the ushers make it to the front will be the choir. So we illustrate the fact that beginning with a small number, working together, two by two, four by four, 8 by 8, 16 by 16, and so on, we become a mighty army making a difference, proclaiming the kingdom of God. Everybody got it? There is a steeple in the town. What does that steeple represent? Would you pray with me? Loving God, you have called us to be your people, to be ambassadors for Christ, to be ministers of reconciliation, and to be instruments of your peace. Help us to hear your calling and equip us to respond, depending totally on you to go out into this community and to share your love and your grace. In the name of the one who calls us, even today, we pray. Amen.